Thank you, Dr. Kurtz. With me today, I have my fellow colleague, Tom Sims. Tom has over 25 years of experience in public health. Prior to joining us, he works for the West Virginia Bureau of Public Health for 25 years conducting quality improvement activities. Tom has been trained by the Joint Commission Committee in Healthcare Organization, and as well as being trained as a coordinator by FAP. Tom, I'm going to go ahead. Tom will present the first half, and I'll complete the latter.
Thank you, Sandra. Good afternoon. To advance this, I simply
hit space.
Okay. There we go. We're going to talk today about the concept of change and discuss the challenges to overcome in the application, and there are challenges. This was a much more daunting task than I imagined it would be. Our training from FAB was wonderful. Our talk with other people in the country who had been through accreditation was helpful. But until you really get into it, you just don't know. We're going to discuss this in the framework of the trans-theoretical model. And let me say something about that. Change doesn't happen instantly, certainly not in our case. We've been at this for several years now. It's a process, and this is the key to this presentation, of distinct stages. James Prochaska, who was a psychologist, referred to six different stages. He did this back in 1980, and he called it the trans-theoretical model of change. Now, Prochaska was a psychologist, not a public health professional, and he developed this to explain how people make changes in their personal lives, like you're going to lose weight, stop drinking, stop smoking, that kind of thing. Personal changes in human behavior. Since that time, it's been expanded to a lot of other uses, including industry and other organizations like healthcare, because change does happen in stages, whether it's individual or organizational. It's a very simple concept, but it's a very important one, and the key to it is, and the thing that made it unique at the time he came up with it was, he emphasized that a lot happens before you actually start making your changes, like going on a diet. There's this whole period of pre-contemplation where you're not even thinking about it. And then you start thinking about losing weight, but you don't do anything about it. And these stages can go actually for years, and often do. So in only 20 minutes or less, Nisandra and I are going to take you through the stages that Prochaska laid out and talk about some of the approaches and the barriers. And then I think Dr. Meyerson actually spoke to this as well, with that health departments are, the health departments in our nation right now are all in some stage. They may still be in the pre-contemplation stage and not considering it at all. And some, 54 or so, have already achieved accreditation. So everyone is in one of these stages, just by definition. This is just a wheel that shows the actual full cycle. Let me go past that. Unexpected challenges, no progress. We sort of stutter-started at this. It was stop-start kind of, and for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons was that we had no, in the beginning, the Kanawha Charleston Health Department didn't have a defined work plan for achieving accreditation. And everyone in the health department had their own jobs to do. If you work in the health department, as most of you do, you know that they're very busy places, they're generally understaffed, and I mean, we're talking about inspecting restaurants and sewage systems. We're talking about threat preparedness and running clinics and all the other things that happen. And in the middle of our process, we were hit in the Kanawha Valley in West Virginia by the largest chemical contamination of a water, public water system that has ever happened in America. And so, you know, you can't drop some of those things to attend to accreditation. So it's, to some degree, it moves easier during calmer seas. One of the things, because everyone has a full plate, a lot to do, that seemed to be holding things back a bit. And so Dr. Gupta, our health officer, brought me in. I was retired at the time from the State Health Department, brought me in because of some public health management experience I had, because I could devote the time to helping steer some things. Now, I did not do the work. The work was done, I was more of a catalyst, but I could put the time in that a lot of people didn't have the time for. Nassandra, as the accreditation coordinator, was the real driver, and the staff did the work. But it was helpful to have someone who could devote his entire energies to the process. Contemplation to preparation. Okay, remember there's this stage where you're not even thinking about something. Either losing weight or becoming accredited or whatever it is. And then you start thinking, I think I probably should lose weight or become accredited. And the first step then is to identify gaps. Where are we weak? Those are the areas that have to be shored up by your planning process. And then implement a work plan to strengthen the Kanawha County Health Department's readiness for accreditation. Even college football teams practice every week during the season, even though, you know, most of these players have played football since high school and before. They still, you know, they practice every week. And so this is an ongoing and hard process. You never quite are finished. Talking quickly about some of the barriers. Funding. Okay. Funding for us, well, resources in general include people, your partners, and some money. Also time, which you can't control as much. But funding wasn't a major barrier for us. Our health officer was very committed to this and was able to convince our board of the importance of accreditation. And the board jumped on and... so fortunately, we've had the resources. Some of our non-monetary resources include our great partners in the state. There's a Kanawha County Coalition for Community Health Improvement that has been around since 1994, and they were so helpful, especially with the CHA and the CHIP in the early stages. And so I want to acknowledge them. Staff time, I've already mentioned that. That's a major barrier. And then resistance to change, as was said by the earlier speakers. People and organizations both naturally resist change. This is just a human trait. It's a survival instinct. Whether you're a human or an animal or an organization, there is a tendency not to want change, because what you have is apparently working because you're still there. And that's the way animals look at it, that's the way people look at it, and organizations. So you have to fight this instinct against change. And I love the way Dr. Hines did it with making it fun. I wish I'd known earlier on some of those tricks. Okay, overcoming the barriers. We've reviewed, of course, the practices against the standards and measures. Incentivizing, motivation. Okay, our director, who again was very supportive, approved some limited bonuses for participation in the process. If you don't do that, at least you've really got to compensate people by compensatory time for the extra time it takes, or overtime pay, or something like that. Because this is going to take time over and above your regular work hours. And when people do that, they need to be recognized. Okay, it says engaging in quality improvement efforts, which I guess I could rephrase as expanding our QI efforts, which we were already doing. Okay. Again, you can use bonuses, and they should be linked to performance, not process or not the work they put in, but to actually the outcomes. And the bonuses create two winners: the organization wins, and the employee wins. And a lot of ideas that Dr. Hines said were great for incentivizing. Okay, very quickly, am I at the turning point? Thank you.
So I'm going to go ahead and wrap up basically where my colleague left off. Just to recap, from 2009 to 2012, we were stagnant in the process, and we're probably no different from any other health departments across the nation. Going through the pre-contemplation state and the contemplation, you know, there's a lot to think about, a lot to work through, a lot to say, oh, wow, it's overwhelming. Is this document meeting? Is this the right document? Can we improve? And you can spend a lot of time just going through that phase. By 2012, we realized and recognized that we ought to be doing something different. In 2013, we decided that we were going to start off with a work plan, which Tom had pointed out. So what the work plan really compromised was us sitting down as leaders, getting together and saying, okay, let's make a plan based on SMART objectives. We incorporate SMART objectives to say, well, by June, we'll have this done, we'll have this phase completed, and we're going to go ahead and actually submit our application by 2014. So we had a work plan that was very stringent and was it was pretty much tied in closely with SMART objectives. By 2014, we had the ball rolling. We had our documentation submitted, and we're now in the process of awaiting our site visit. In our first stage, you may recognize this previous diagram, which we had in the first stage of the game in 2012. We skipped the contemplation and preparation, and we dive right into action. In 2012, what we did, which was a challenge, is we went ahead, we said, oh, yeah, accreditation is going on, we're going to become accredited, we're going to dive in, and we were ready to get started. So we weren't really contemplating or preparing for the process. We just went right in, dived in, and thought what we knew best was we were ready. Well, what we found out later was we tied up 2.5 years of accomplishing nothing. So in 2013, we went ahead and revisited, start off with the work plan, and we went through the entire process. So we went through contemplating what we were going to be doing. We went through preparation, action, and we're currently in maintenance. So that's the phases that we're currently in. And I'm going to break these down according to our organization and the applicability of the stages of change. So in 2009, we contemplate, which we already explained. In 2012, where we started with preparation, we went through and we recognized that one thing is important in the accreditation process is a gap analysis. You ought to be able to identify your areas, your strengths, your weakness, and see what areas you need to direct resources to. So in 2012, we started reevaluating, completed our self-assessment, accreditation work plan, letter of intent, wrap up our prerequisites, our community health assessment, our CHIP, and our organization strategic plan. Once we got past that phase, we dive into what we best known as action. In the action phase, we went ahead, we submit our application with our application fee, and that's when we realized that, wow, we're really on the road to accreditation. We we went ahead and started our site visit preparation. And that's another area that can be proven to, you know, be challenging to engage staff. Engaging staff, you first got to understand your workforce. First, you got to understand, you know, your demographics for your workforce to see how best you can engage them. Because what may work for one group, your age 20 to 40, may not necessarily work for your 40 to 60. And that's what we did. We try to tailor the needs to our staff. In 2014, which is where we are right now, we've had many QR projects going on. So we use what's called a QR roadmap. With the QR roadmap, what we essentially try to accomplish was to have each division engage actively in QI. So once we were able to map that each division has a QI plan going on and they were actively engaged, then we were able to strategically, as an organization, see where we were on the roadmap. In terms of the stages of the changes, the termination phase does not apply for us in accreditation because it's an ongoing process. It's a process where we want to create a culture of change. We want to make sure that the next generation to come will be able to fit right in, dive in, and continue that process. So it's a continuous quality improvement process and performance improvement. So there's not a termination phase in this sense. The cycle will continue to roll. Having said that, and some of the challenges that we've had internally for our organization in terms of accreditation preparation and submitting our application, I also would like to point out to you today the FAB map. On the map, the blue states are the states with HD in process. The green states are states with accredited health departments. And the map looks wonderful. It looks great because you can see where most states are engaged. Most states are somewhere along the phase in accreditation. However, for example, as we take a closer look at the map, what we quickly realize is that for our state, West Virginia, for example, we only had one agency that's engaged in the process. But we're colored blue. So it makes us ask ourselves the question, well, what are we going to do for future purposes? How can we help the rest of our region to become not only aware, because we're mostly aware of accreditation, but how to engage and get that ball rolling so they're not stuck in the phase or repeating history of some of the mistakes that we already made. So we recognize that perhaps there may be some fundamental changes that may need to take place. Currently, there are 54 accredited agencies as of September 16, 2014. In West Virginia, as I mentioned, there's only one agency in the entire state that is engaged in the process. Since the announcement of public health accreditation over 3 years ago, when we did the calculation, it turns out that there is less than 1% of public health agencies that have been accredited. So the question for us in the room today, and for all of us, is, what for us, how can we challenge ourselves to move forward with the process? For 3 years later, you would want to think there'd be a lot more going on in terms of accreditation, where we are today and where we ought to be tomorrow. So we went ahead and project based on, you know, linear format. Today, if we have 54 at 3 years, in 25 years, how many health departments will be accredited based on the current status? It looks like we'll have a little over 450 health departments. We have a little over 3,000 public health agencies that need to go through the process. So as public health officials here in the room today, some things that we ought to be thinking about is, how are we going to help to streamline the process? How we can help our fellow colleagues, neighboring colleagues? How can we work together for the betterment of our community? Moving forward, some of the lessons learned that we were able to incorporate in the process are, public health agency often gets stuck in the process. We start and we get stuck. One of the big issues with accreditation that we've learned from our experience is the process can seem very overwhelming. And when I say overwhelming, initially when we start off, for example, you say accreditation and our staff is like, psh. If it's close to four, they're gone. They're not sticking around. because it seems like a daunting process. Now you say accreditation and the mentality has changed. It's where, oh yeah, definitely, what do you want? It's no more hiding in, you know, cubicles. So one of the things that we ought to be doing is try to see how we can get them moving from the process. Even though it's a lot of documentation and it seems like a lot going on, my suggestion is one document at a time. Simplification of the accreditation process. Sometimes I think, staying from our experience being in the pre-contemplation and contemplation for years, we learned firsthand that sometimes you can really overthink the process. And when I say overthink the process is, you're spending so much time on just, you know, strategic plan, we got to have smart objective, this is going to work, this is not going to work. First, you got to see what really works for your organization. It has to be tailored for your health department. So you cannot say, well, okay, this is what, you know, my friend Robert is doing, and it's going to work awesome. We're going to spend a year designing the website. You know, in that phase, you will be stuck in the process. So my suggestion, based on our experience first then, is once you have a plan, the best thing to do is have a work plan. Work from your work plan and try to get the process. Take it one document at a time, one domain at a time. Another thing that we recognized was, which was very great, was like, you know, some of my fellow colleagues have done, is trying to engage the staff with incentives. You know, make something fun. Once it's fun, they'll be more willing to participate. We did design bonus for our staff because our staff, her workforce is very limited. It's one of our barriers there. So by giving them a bonus, we'll allow them to work harder at accreditation. And we tied in performance and outcome. We have staff that were so dedicated that it was like probably 11:30 in the night at the health department, and they're not on overtime, but they're working on accreditation. It was that kind of momentum going on. Well, 3 years ago, we didn't have that. 3 years ago, you say accreditation, and they're hiding through the back door, and they're gone. You call in the cell phone, no pick up. It's just different mentality. So you got to find a way to engage the employees, keep the momentum going. You know, one question I've had someone ask me recently was, well, with the money we invested, wow, it's a lot of money. Is it really worth it? And my answer to them was, well, you know what I've seen with streamlining a lot of what we're doing? The money we've invested, we already reap the benefit in less than 6 months. In our contemplation state, yes, we were losing because we were not making any real changes. But once we were able to engage in what we ought to be engaging, a lot of our process has streamlined. In environmental health, which is one division, we've included one of performance improvement, which is based on the lean method. And based on the lean method, in one billing cycle, we save over 20,000 in one program just by employees start changing their practices. So last but not least, adopt best practices from fellow colleagues. Like today, I'm sure I'm going to adopt some of Robert, what he's doing, adopt some of what Beth is doing, take the information back to our state so we can engage our state and engage other health departments. Thank you.